We have a special guest on the line, a linebacker for the Ducks during perhaps the most dominating period in program history, redshirted on the 2010 team, senior on the team who played Ohio State for the title, all-conference academic, and now add author to the resume. On Twitter, his handle is at PoeticSoul_. Welcome in, Derek Malone. Derek, appreciate the time. Good to catch up. How's life treating you?
Thanks for having me. Life is great. Life is great. I'm actually visiting Oregon right now. I'm right in Portland, so it feels good to be home. Just so many memories going through my mind right now.
You know, obviously we'll get to some football, but first and foremost, the book, Why Big Boys Don't Cry. And over my about 25 years hosting a show like this, I always start with a question. Books just don't happen. There's a reason and a process. Derek, what inspired you to write this particular book?
Yeah, of course. So I've always just been very passionate about, you know, short, concise, and powerful, just like writing. And for the past like 5 or 6 years, I've been a huge mental health advocate as well. So I was just thinking to myself, how can I blend both being a mental health advocate and writing something, you know, short, and concise, and powerful? And then I just started going to different museums. I went to a Disney museum, and I've seen a lot of animation. And I was like, wow, I actually should make a children's book. Then I went to my notebook, started writing down some ideas. And just the world of vulnerability is just so important to me. So I decided to go ahead and, you know, write my first book, encouraging young boys to be vulnerable and show emotion and find power in that. So that's why I named the book, Why Don't Big Boys Cry.
You know, we've made progress as far as men talking about mental health and depression. But, you know, there are certain areas of life where it's kind of awkward. Certainly, football is as macho as it gets. I know a year ago you were featured in Men's Health magazine. So as hard as it is to admit personal struggles, how much more difficult was it in, like, the ultimate tough guy sport like football?
It was very difficult. Actually, you know, I started seeing a therapist after I started redshirting my freshman year, and I didn't tell anyone about the struggles that I was having all the way through until I graduated, actually. Even my best friends didn't know until once I graduated. I wrote a blog post about, you know, depression. I deal with it too. And that was my first time actually admitting it to people and putting it on people's radar. And the biggest reason why I don't think, say anything for the longest, I just didn't, that stigma was just so apparent, you know, about 5 years ago. And I just didn't want my coaches or teammates to think that I wasn't capable of leading a team or rising to the occasion if they didn't think that I was mentally there. So that's why I just really just, you know, kept all of it bottled into myself.
It's amazing. Talking with author and, of course, former Ducks standout linebacker Derek Malone, the book, Why Don't Boys Cry? So it's not an autobiography, and without giving away too much, because we certainly want folks to get out there and get their copy, what can you tell us about the overall theme of the book?
Yeah, no, not an autobiography by no means, but essentially the character Kobe is having, he's a normal, typical boy. And he's happy with his life back home. And then his mother actually gets a new job, and she has to move the family up across country. So he is just dealing with, you know, the new changes. He has to lose his friends, and he's like missing them, and he's having a hard time transitioning and adjusting to, you know, his new way of living. And so he's bottling it in, not wanting to show emotions as he's struggling through this time. Until he has a conversation with his father. And then understand that there's definitely power and vulnerability in showing emotion.
You know,
so that's a synopsis.
You know, Derek, I thought one of the most important aspects of your particular story is you weren't a shy kid or a young guy growing up. Like you said, you were pretty open, willing to express yourself. So kind of take us through what happened when you left Colton, California, landed in Eugene, and when you started college life, that kind of changed things, didn't it?
Yeah, I've been very social, always, you know, been in choir, been in, you know, drama, you know, play sports. So I've always been loving to connect with a variety of different people. But the moment, you know, when I got to Oregon, it was different. I'm from Southern California, so it was a big culture shock for me the moment I landed in Eugene. I left my family, you know, all my friends that I've known forever, and I really didn't feel that I had, like, a support system, although now I know that I did. But in that moment, I just felt very, very alone. And I saw myself just, like, isolating and, you know, kind of being standoffish. And that wasn't me at all. But that's when I noticed that there's a little, you know, shift just with me and that I needed to, you know, pay more attention to my mental health.
you know, from what I read, you had someone from the Oregon staff take notice. They didn't play the suck it up card. You had a legitimate conversation. So kind of take us through that important period of your life and kind of what happened next that you say critically altered your life's path.
Yeah, of course. So, I was, like I said before, I was really just like isolating myself, trying to like just have my headphones in, walking around the football facility with my head down, just trying to, you know, get through practice and get through the days. And then one of the athletic trainers noticed that, and she was just like, "Hey, Derek, like, you seem a little different. Like, how's everything? Is everything okay?" And then through a little bit of conversation, she was like, "I think that you might need to see someone and talk to someone." And I just jumped at that invitation because it was the first time that I had a conversation like this. And I was like, exactly, like I'm more than open to, you know, to do that. And then that's when I went forth and started talking to one. And that was the first time I've ever done talk therapy before. And I just kept doing, learning different skills, different coping mechanisms to get me through everyday life. And that ultimately kind of changed my life. And then the moment once I left, you know, University of Oregon, then I started talking about it more broadly and being more of an advocate. And then that is what really, you know, I'll say, transformed me as a person and really made sure that I was walking in alignment with my purpose. And that's when I discovered it.
Talking with former Duck linebacker and author and mental health advocate, Derek Malone Jr., I got to get some football thoughts in. You mentioned you're a SoCal guy and obviously a football player. I would imagine growing up, the thought of playing in the Rose Bowl crossed your mind. So what do you remember about that January day in 2012 as a redshirt taking the field as, at the time, you were the first Pac-12 champs?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was probably one of the most electrifying moments of my life. That was my redshirt freshman year. So I was playing a little bit on special teams, but that was the game that I actually got to, you know, play like a substantial amount. Got a good tackle on the quarterback. Everything was just like really great. It was just like electric. I remember just walking through the tunnel, seeing we had those chrome helmets. I just seen the sun hit it and then the reflection of the entire crowd. I know my family was watching. I know my family was also there as well. And it just felt like just like a dream come true because the moment I've been watching the Rose Bowl and the parade since I could barely remember since I was a kid. So I'm just so glad that I had the opportunity to not play in one, but actually two. And I win two rings. It was great.
Yeah, I actually want to get to Rose Bowl number two against Florida State because I'll actually set the stage. It's the opening drive of the second half. You guys are up just five. The Seminoles had moved to your side of the field. It's second and 10, and number 22 on the Ducks makes a momentum-changing play. What do you remember about that moment?
All I remember is that we were so prepared for that game, and we went to halftime. And then our coach said, "Hey, we have to put it on our back." DP, he's like, "We have to put it on our back, and someone needs to step up, and someone needs to make a play." And you know, I just put it on myself. I said, "I'm going to get that ball. Like this drive, I'm going to take that ball away." And I just visualized it, and then the moment I saw it, I just ripped it out and just took it. And that's actually one of my favorite plays that I've ever, you know, played in my career period.
Well, you think about it. You mentioned in the first Rose Bowl you got to sack Russell Wilson. In that game, you stripped Dalvin Cook. Those are two pretty good players. I'd imagine you want that on your highlight reel.
Yeah, of course, because like you said, when I redshirted my freshman year, so I saw the good hits that we were getting, all linebackers were getting on Cam Newton. So I had to make sure I had to rise to the occasion when I got my opportunity.
Couple final thoughts for Derek Malone. So, you know, let the folks know it's been 7 years since you graduated. You know, where are you living? What's happening with you? What are you up to these days?
Yeah, actually, I live in Los Angeles, California. I actually work for Netflix right now as a technical recruiter. So I lead recruiting for the design organization. So been doing that as well as being a public speaker for mental health. So I speak to children, speak to high schools, colleges, as well as some tech companies. I just spoke at Pinterest recently. Just like living the dream, just trying to live my life to the fullest and, you know, make a positive impact in the world.
So, In closing, a little radio reset, the new book, Why Don't Big Boys Cry? So, again, let the folks know what it's about, when it's coming out, and where they can get it.
Yeah, of course. My book, Why Don't Big Boys Cry, is all about encouraging young boys to be vulnerable. The character Kobe is having a transition time because he just moved to a new town, and he's bottling everything in, trying not to cry until he has a conversation with his father and finds that there's vulnerability. and showing emotion. So you can get this book everywhere. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. Pre-order now. It's going to be released on May 3rd officially, for just in time for Mental Health Awareness Month. So make sure you go out and get your copy.
All right, folks, he's Derek Malone, great player, author, a man willing to tell his story so others might feel more comfortable telling theirs. On Twitter, the handle is at @PoeticSoul_. Hey, Derek, this has been awesome. Glad things are going well for you. Congrats on the new book, and even more so on the important message you send. And I appreciate you taking some time. Be well, and I hope we could talk again down the road.
I can't wait. Thanks again for having me.
All right, take it easy.